B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, 10 questions coming up. We got to zip through these calls to save all the time we can for the big boy with the 10 questions. Again, 617-779-0985. Dave and Haverhill, lead us off this hour. Go ahead.
Yeah, what's up, guys? It's the Felger. I was watching the Seattle-Philly game, and second half, the announcer had mentioned that Russell Wilson in L.A., he has a rookie receiver from Ole Miss. Don't know the guy's name. But they were going there 5:30 in the morning, working out, throwing stuff. You know what? If Brady did that, I really think we'd be. I mean, we're 10-1. I understand that, but the dedication of the quarterback, he's a little older.
It's a factor. It's a factor, and you're talking about DK Metcalf.
Yep.
Yeah.
So is Brady getting up at the crack of dawn in April and going to some practice facility? No, they're playing catch once at the mattress, and they're putting on Instagram, like, look at us.
Yeah, he's on a yacht in the Mediterranean.
So look, I think Brady loses a little bit of the moral high ground when it comes to this, and a little bit of his, I lack full sympathy for him when he's not there in the offseason to work with these guys. So that's that. But that being said, I think he is looking at him more. I mean, hell, if Harry catches the balls he should have caught the other day, the sideline one for sure, and then the jump ball was a tough grab. You'd like to see him catch it. But if he catches one of those two, if Myers catches the one or two that he drops, he dropped the first one of the game and then that seam down the middle, you look at it and you go, ooh, Brady's really developing something here with these guys. I mean, it was really, you know, those one or two drops sort of swung the...
Yeah, he targeted them 13 times. He completed 5 passes. If that number gets to 7 or 8,
you're in business.
Yeah, then you're close.
So I think they're close. I think they're working. I felt that Dallas game was a step in the right direction, Greg. I think the arrow should be pointing up. Okay, that doesn't mean you're there. Doesn't mean you're the greatest show on turf. It just they started and they did run the ball a little bit. I know Dallas invited it, but you're telling me other teams didn't invite it this year and they still weren't able to do it?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you want me to say. I mean, look, they took advantage. Last year was like a carbon copy. This game was a carbon copy of some of the games last year where they exploited bad run defenses. I mean, a lot of this season, they've had bad matchup. They've gone against the Redskins have some guys up front that are pretty good. The Cowboys have nobody in the middle. They really don't. I can't even name you a defensive tackle. And Robert Quinn and Lawrence is okay, but Robert Quinn's never been able to defend a run. Then you put Michael Bennett out there, and he's just shooting up the field. And their linebackers are completely overrated. Jalen Smith, Sean Lee.
54? You don't like him?
No.
Oh, I like
no,
him.
No, I think he's a good overrated. Player. No.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I like him.
Yeah, and you hear that from NFL scouts, too. They're like, he's not...
Okay, well,
he's not as good as his rep.
I just refuse to believe that was the first bad defense they've gone against this year. And I I'm not telling you that they're there. I'm just telling you the direction.
I mean, I don't understand why was this so much better? They scored three. They scored how many points did they have?
13
on 58 yards and 19 plays. I'm supposed to be impressed by that?
It's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, impressed. I don't know if that's the word. I'm just telling you. I thought
was it better? Yeah, N'Keal Harry caught a touchdown pass. That was better. Sony Michel
ran a little bit
through holes.
At least a little bit. Well, they weren't there in the previous weeks. It's a low bar, Greg. Sony Michel this year has done exactly squat. He's done crap. So he did a little less than crap in this game.
I agree with Bill on his conference calls when he says, I think Sony's played well this year and he's run hard.
I know. I heard that comment. I almost crapped my pants. I said, you got to be kidding me. Michelle ran harder Sunday, Greg. He was more decisive. And I would also say there were some plays where he made aggressive cuts because he saw holes opening, maybe in a spot where they weren't supposed to be. And he was aggressive about running through them. So I thought he was better.
I just don't want to hear this.
He was maybe a little bit better. Wynn is certainly better than Marshall Newhouse. I don't think anybody ever debated that. And he is much more aggressive in the run game, and you know his pad level's better. He blocks with a violence. Yes, he made a great on the game clinching run that Michelle had. He made a great adjustment at the last minute when Sean Lee was coming through the hole and he came off his double team and clipped him enough that Michelle got through. And Newhouse does not make that play. There's no question about that. It would probably be a 2-yard loss. But, you know, and hopefully Wynn continues to get better. I mean, he did give up 6.5 pressures, which is tied for the second most on the team in any game this year.
Wow.
So that was a lot. But I think he'll get, you know, there's some rust. And it's a tough, Robert Quinn's good at pass rushing. So it was a tough matchup.
Felt like he got beat to the outside when he got beat.
Yeah. I mean, most of it was early. So he did get better as the game went on and got used to the game speed and things like that. But, you know, he was far from perfect. And like, it's just tough to tell. I mean, the weather game like that, it was, you know, it was brutal for both offenses. You know, I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. Do I think they were incrementally better? Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. And I expect the Patriots to get incrementally better every week.
Thank you.
But at the end of the day, I don't know. I still don't know whether that's going to be good enough against a good team.
Here's a prediction. Jimmy Stewart's not here, but he demands them. The offense is going to have some really good days late in the season, and people are going to take their pants off to Tom Brady and say, oh, look at him working with all these pieces around him and all these kids, and look what he was handed and what he's been able to do with it. That's coming.
Yeah,
and
because they play... They always get the best of the Texans.
The fact
the
that
Chiefs stink.
Always wanted to go
Miami.
On a romantic
Hold on,
vacation.
Now I got four different people talking and that. And when it happens... You're going to celebrate it. It's taken way too long for it to happen. And it's going to prove my point when it does happen. They have enough. They have enough to be better than they've been. And it's coming. Mark and Franklin. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I think one of the keys, maybe the key to beating this Baltimore team, is they've got to keep their offense off the field. And the only way you can do that is with a good old-fashioned run game.
Okay, do you think it's gotten to that point where you have to keep Lamar Jackson and that Ravens offense off the field? It's one of those things. You treating him like Mahomes?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, they're so varied, and now you have to defend them. And, you know, look, a lot of this stuff, since Roman's in his first year as offensive coordinator, a lot of this stuff is new for a lot of these teams. And they're getting data, and the Patriots will have more data the second time around when they play them. But, yeah, I mean, that would be wise. I mean, you know, because I think the thing that makes Jackson so different than these guys, and you asked that question before about these flash in the pans, and part of it, and I didn't get to finish my thought, part of it is Roman, because I'm telling you, when he gets a head coaching job, Lamar Jackson will not nearly be as good next year, unless they pluck some guy from college who knows how to work with this type of quarterback. I doubt it. Harbaugh always screws this up, the offensive coordinator. He got lucky, fell into Roman. The other thing is, when you look at these guys, the thing that separates Lamar Jackson and the guys from the past, Lamar Jackson is a leader and he takes this seriously. RG3 was terrible in the room. He was terrible. He would not take coaching, thought he was better than everybody else. Michael Vick didn't give a crap about studying or anything. And he told Jim Moore that. He's like, oh, I didn't apply. Never applied himself. Who were some of the other guys?
Randall Cunningham.
Randall Cunningham.
I didn't cover Cunningham.
Cunningham was the only one of those guys who won with any sort of like consistent.
Yeah, and he seemed
percentage.
To be on the ball most of the time.
But I think his
never made the Super Bowl. Kaepernick.
Kaepernick just, you know, he was basically had to be propped up. Didn't have the football IQ of a Lamar Jackson. Just couldn't match that. And Jackson can, and he takes this seriously. He's a leader, and he studies his ass off, and he works his ass off, and he gives all the right answers, and he's not just patronizing people like RG3 did. This guy's serious about it.
Okay, I'll give that to him.
When I say Cunningham won, I mean regular season. The other guys were 500 quarterbacks. Randall Cunningham was 82-52.
I think, I thought Vic was better than that, but either way, why is this guy, and you know, Steve Young deserves, again, because he's not making a black quarterback thing. Steve Young belongs in that.
Absolutely.
He's the same guy.
Yep.
Steve Young was the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was a more proficient runner than a passer in a lot of situations. He could do both, ultimately, but he's not someone that picked you apart accuracy-wise, and he could break long runs and everything. And so I think he was on the list. He won at a high level. But I just think for the most part, you know, I've just been through it enough. We all have, if you're old, like me, to say that, you know, this guy's taken over the league. And, oh, you can't stop this guy. You can't stop that guy. You can't stop him. You can't stop this. And then you stop him. And I want to know why Lamar Jackson's any different, if he is any different. We'll continue with your phones after we do 10 questions around the league with the big boy right after this.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ten questions, 10 minutes with the big fella, Jimmy Stewart. Out. We have Billy Lanning. Did you do some buzzer options for us, William? What do we got? Let's hear them.
Hated it.
Hated that one.
Hey.
So hold on. The second one got all jumbled. What's the second one?
You are right, Melger.
Okay, yeah, Melger. That was good. There we go.
They did what they needed to do.
They did what they needed to do, and sometimes you need to do what you need to do, and that's how you win. You do what you need to do.
And that's all you need to do.
That's all you need to do is do what you need to do.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Trust.
Computers are down, so we sometimes do our own sound effects here. Is that it?
It's brilliant.
Okay, would you turn on the music? I don't know if anyone else can hear that, but we don't need that. All right, go ahead, Billy, hit me.
Hated it.
Question number 10. Hold on. My printout doesn't have my 10 questions on it. I just want to make sure that I got this properly formed. Fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. Murray, you can start. Fill in the blank. I think the Rams with Jared Goff and Sean McVay are?
Like the 2017 Eagles and Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back, they are one-hit wonders. They had their token shot last year. They're never going to be good again. McVay's proven this year he's nothing more than a good offensive coordinator. He's lost control of that team. Did you see how many penalties they had last night? And the one punt that they forced, they have 12 men on the field. And Goff's an imbecile. That's more evident by the week. And my favorite stat, he is 0 for November when it comes to touchdowns. Julian Edelman has more touchdown passes than Jared Goff, the overpaid quarterback of the Rams this month. Enjoy him for the next 3 years, you a-holes.
Wow, that's a long answer for filling the blank.
No, it's good.
So I think the Rams with Jared Goff and Sean McVay are porked.
Greg.
Porked.
Done. Goff needs to go.
That's it. Done. It's over.
Yep.
Never see them again.
Goff's just not good enough. He was propped up last year by a surrounding cast, and now, since they can't play the way they need to play, he cannot play. He's like Dak Prescott. He cannot be shotgun, pick things out. He has to be under center, play action, simple reads, simple throws. He can't do it.
So that's it for the Rams. Well, that was quick. Next.
Right, Melga.
Thank you. Take your pick to build your team around, Greg. Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson this week?
This week?
Well, I'm just saying we have Deshaun Watson this week on the schedule.
I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson. I just think he fits more offenses. Plus, like I said, I'm sorry to keep bringing it up, but it's true. It's Lamar Jackson and Greg Roman. And is he always going to have them? Deshaun Watson could be in any scheme. Lamar Jackson has to be a very defined, certain scheme to be in.
Lamar Jackson for me.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson for me, too. And really, it comes down to one thing. Watson has two ACL tears in different knees in the last 4 years. I think that ultimately catches up with him. So I think you'll get a longer career with Jackson.
I'm going to go Lamar Jackson here. I put this on here to say Deshaun Watson. Like I said, I asked the same thing last week with Dak Prescott, who was on the schedule last week, Greg. That's what I was trying to imply. And just because I think that Deshaun Watson is probably a little more accurate, probably a little better sitting in the pocket and throwing from the pocket, and that's what I think ultimately is going to prevail. I just don't think Deshaun Watson has taken that team to the next level yet. Has Deshaun Watson, for all the great stuff that he's done, has he ever gone on a run like this and elevated his team like this?
No.
I mean, they've been good.
They should be better.
Yeah, but that's so subjective.
Well, the whole thing's subjective.
Yeah, but you're talking about
Lamar Jackson's football
program.
I feel Lamar Jackson's, as individually and collectively as a team, taking it to the next level. And I don't think Deshaun Watson or the Texans have ever gotten to this level.
So you don't think that Deshaun Watson on that same team this year, the Ravens team, he couldn't have done this?
No, I don't.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think he could.
I disagree.
I'm not sure he's I'm just going by results. What Lamar Jackson has done this year, Deshaun Watson in his 3 years in the league, 4 years in the league, hasn't done this. He hasn't.
Yeah, but the situation is completely different. Different team, different coach, different everything.
So we agree to disagree. Big boy, next.
They did what they needed to do.
Number 8, Sean Payton says he wants, the Saints coach obviously, says he wants a 3-man panel to decide replay reviews in just this, instead of just the single guy in New York like Al Riveron, three-man panel, Supreme Court justices now deciding replays. Are you thumbs up or down on this proposal, Greg?
Is he serious? No. I'm so down on this. Like, what? Come on, Peyton. He's got to be better. So we're going to have the three blind mice in New York? No. Hire one competent person. It's not that hard. I could do it. You know, as long as you get somebody who is just going to judge every play the same way every time, it shouldn't be that hard. One guy could do it. Just hire somebody smarter than Al Riveron.
So I just want to make sure I got this straight. I get half to pick between one a-hole or three?
Correct.
I'll take one.
Yeah, me too. Thumbs down.
Three-man panels. What the hell are we doing next?
And that's all you need to do.
Number seven, who's been the biggest surprise in the league to you this year, Greg?
Niners. I didn't think they would be this good. And we'll see how good they ultimately are, but they're pretty darn good.
I'm going to go Baltimore. I thought the Ravens might win that division, but I did not see this coming. I mean, they are a whirlwind right now, for crying out loud.
I went with individual over team, and Greg is going to hate this answer. Ryan Tannehill. The Titans were 2-4 when they benched Hawaiian Tebow. He takes over 4-1 since.
Wow.
10 touchdowns. In his completion percentage, it's over 72%, the best in his career.
Wait. You're not wrong.
Wow. I didn't even realize any of that.
Yep.
They won again on Sunday. Yeah.
My answer is the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. I did not think that he was capable of this kind of play. I did not. Next.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Boston.
I asked you the biggest surprise was. Who's been the biggest disappointment?
Chargers. You know, I mean, this is an annual thing. I don't know why I'm surprised, but I thought this was the year maybe they put it together because I thought the Chiefs were going to be susceptible.
Philly and Carson Wentz. What a letdown. What a letdown. Philly and Wentz.
Atlanta Falcons. That team should not be 3-8 with an offense as talented as theirs.
Philly is the answer. Next.
Hated it.
Annual tool bag question, weekly tool bag question. Can you give me a tool bag Texan, please?
Jack Easterby.
such a long story. That's the character coach that bolted New England for the Texans. Can you?
Yeah,
give me-
he came here for the Super Bowl ring ceremony and tried to leave with Nick Caserio. I mean, come on.
That's a tool bag.
And then, so he's here as the team chaplain.
Here for the ring ceremony and tried to leave with Caserio. Yeah, I like that.
And he was here as the team chaplain. And then, you know, so he's listening to everybody's, you know, biggest secrets and all this stuff. And then he goes, he wants to be an executive? Like, what?
He takes all the info from confessionals,
yes,
and takes it down to the Texans and tries to give it to the Texans. I like it.
This was a toughie. There aren't that many tool bags down there.
Exactly, right? Or yeah. They're just too new or irrelevant. Like, it's hard to come up with a real tool bag Texan.
Yeah, I went Brian Hoyer, though, because in his only playoff start there, he went 15 for 34, completed 44% of his passes, threw four picks, and fumbled twice. You tool. Wow, is that awful.
I didn't think it was hard because there's an obvious answer, and that's walking steroid advertisement. Brian Cushing popped a few times for PEDs, had that oversized head, a million teeth, always full of road rage. I hated Brian Cushing.
You know he's on their strength and conditioning
staff. Oh, that's perfect. Of course he is.
With the character coach, the chaplain.
Yep.
All right, next.
You are right, Malga.
Thank you. Number four. A lot of chatter for Stephon Gilmore being as good or not better than Ty Law. Recently. So I ask you this. In order, please, the top five corners of the Bill Belichick era. In order.
Ty Law, Darrell Revis, Stephon Gilmore, Asante Samuel, Malcolm Butler.
Nice. I like it.
I have the exact same five in the exact same order.
Wow.
Mine goes Ty Law, Stephon Gilmore, Revis, Aqib Talib, Malcolm Butler, and screw Asante Samuel.
I forgot Talib.
Talib,
screw Asante Samuel. Make the pick in Super Bowl 42.
I forgot about Talib. Good God, I missed him.
You all have, except for, I think, Murray, Revis over Gilmore. Why?
For that 1 year, I thought he was better, and it was a different scheme. Like, you know, this Patriots team is really good. They needed those cornerbacks to play that well for that defense to win the title that year. And I thought Revis was more valuable that season than Gilmore is this year.
Yeah, I also think the competition they faced that year was a lot better in terms of passing games. They saw some really good quarterbacks during a stretch there in the middle of the year, and Revis was good. And let's not forget, if Revis isn't on the field, that ball might never go to Ricardo Lockett, and Butler might never make that pick.
Okay, next.
They did what they needed to do.
Thank you, Gronk. Number three, Frank Gore is now third all-time NFL rushing yards leader. Number three all-time behind Walter Payton and Jim Brown, is that the list?
No, Emmitt Smith, I think, is number
okay.
one, right?
Whatever the list is, yep. He's third. Is Frank Gore a Hall of Famer?
Nope.
No.
He's in the Hall of Very Good. I mean, I love Frank Gore. Would love to have him on my team as, you know, a backup or something like that, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
No, absolutely not. No way.
No. And this makes me crazy because he's going to get in because of those stats, but he was never considered the best at his position ever that I can remember. And I'll give you five that I would take over him in a heartbeat. Ricky Waters, Garrison Hurst, Edgerrin James, Corey Dillon, Eddie George. All those guys you actually had to scheme up and be afraid of. Frank Gore, he's just there.
Emmitt Smith, one. Walter Payton, two. Frank Gore, three.
Frank Gore.
Third all-time leading rusher. Did you ever have to game plan against Frank Gore?
No. No, I'll tell you what, though. Like, I admire Gore for the consistency of his career.
Yeah, I like him.
Right? 4-plus every time he touches the ball. It's like, you know, hard to find players like that. But Hall of Famer? No.
Next.
And that's all you need to do.
Okay, number two. What would be the best conference title games? Teams and location, please.
Ravens at Pats. Niners at Saints.
Okay, I have Niners at Saints as well, and Pats at Ravens. I think it's a better game if it's in Baltimore. Let's see the Patriots get a second crack at it.
Seems spiteful. Patriots hosting the Ravens, Seattle at New Orleans.
Okay. Go outside of Boston for the country, for the league. What's better, Ravens-Patriots or Ravens-Chiefs and Pat Mahomes?
Ravens-Chiefs.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So
I don't care about the rest of the country.
I know you don't. I'm just saying. I don't know if...
No, I don't know. I'm going to change my mind on that. You need a good villain. The Patriots are the villain. They draw people. I mean, look at the Cowboys-Patriots ratings the other day. I mean, people love to hate the Patriots. So I think the Patriots have to be there.
I want that game in Baltimore. Patriots to win that game in Baltimore, boy, that'd tell you a lot.
I think the most interesting NFC game would be a Niners-Seahawks rematch. It would be the third time they play, so maybe you'd be sick of it by then, but I think those two teams would be destined for three games just like the one they played last week. Last one, go.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boston.
It's the Boston that makes
it. It's the Boston that makes it, no question. What's more sustainable? The Niners and what they're doing, or the Ravens and what they're doing?
The Niners and what they're doing, because it's Shanahan's system. He's not going anywhere. It's tried and true, has worked every place, and they had the defense whip. The Ravens are, it's how Lamar Jackson goes.
Yeah, exactly. The Niners are more sustainable because it's not dependent on solely one player. That's the problem with what Baltimore's doing, is if something happens with the quarterback, they're boned. It's over.
I know that's the easy answer. What was the Niners' record with C.J. Beathard last year? What was their record when Garoppolo got hurt? It wasn't so hot. It seemed like the record turned around when they got their quarterback back. Everything else was pretty much in place,
yeah,
right?
Their defense also improved, though.
Felger, seriously, we're going to keep doing this? Circumstances are different. You can't look back at last year's team and apply it to this year. You just can't. Everything's different.
What?
That team,
what?
The league, who they're playing.
How's it different?
You know how it's different. The whole team is made up differently.
It is?
Yeah.
Who else did they add?
Emmanuel Sanders.
Okay, well, that was late.
Coleman's healthy.
By the time they got
everybody's a year better.
Bosa.
Everybody has a year experience. Everybody's been in the strength room for a different year. I mean, come on.
Wait, they weren't lifting weights the year before? They just got the weight set this year? They just ordered the weights? I don't get that.
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
Well, no, but that's silly.
No,
like, I mean,
no, it's not silly.
But because you discount the growth of players in the process.
No. I mean, I understand. It's not so linear as I'm making it. I just think it's very...
Thank you. End it there. That's it. Move on.
No.
Billy, end it.
C.J. Beathard's record, please. And then we'll go to break.
He blows.
Here's Murray's update, and then we're back with more.
Felger and Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Third and goal, and Lamar Jackson tonight is a perfect 6 of 6. On third down, 6 first down, 6 of 6. Can he turn the corner and get in? Yes! We got a Jackson 5. Lamar with 5 touchdown passes. Willie Snead. There is a rub, but it's legal. It is 1 yard beyond, but it's a legal rub. No contest. Breaks that plane, touchdown.
So again, that was the cap on Lamar Jackson's night. Greg, let me ask you, did the Patriots make a mistake passing on him twice at the end of the first round 2 years ago?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
No. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's a tough question.
It is a tough question. I asked this a couple. Murray had the great idea talking about this, you know, in the week before the Baltimore game. You know, you end up at 31. You take Sony Michel, who I still think is just a guy, meaning he doesn't suck, but he ain't great. He's just, you could find him anywhere. And at whatever that was, the pick before 23, they took the fat kid from Georgia. So you tell me, would you rather have Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel or Lamar Jackson? I mean, you could have Sony Michel and Lamar Jackson. You could have Isaiah Wynn and Lamar Jackson. You don't have to go two for one. You know, and we all said no. You know, when Murray had us ask 2 weeks ago, have you changed your mind?
I'd rather have him over Michel. But there's a caveat for me. And that is, you, Bill wouldn't let him play this way.
So that's...
Well, that's the main component of this, is what was in Bill's mind. What, because I'm sure there weren't, like, discussions among the staff as to where they're going to be in 5 years as an offense. But I'd like to know what in Bill's mind, what does he see the offense look like post-Brady? Because then I could give you a better answer. If it's, I want an athletic quarterback and I want to do a lot of things, sure. Yep, absolutely, sign me up. But if Bill wants a pocket passer who does those things first, then no, it's not Lamar.
Yeah, I don't think Bill would let him play this way. I mean, in fact, I think there's no way in hell it would happen. So that's sort of the irony of it, is that you watch this guy running wild in Baltimore, and you'd say, you know what? For Lamar Jackson's sake, it's better that he ended up there.
Okay. Do you look at Bill critically that he wouldn't let Lamar Jackson play this way?
Well, yes and no, because I think that, you know, Bill believes in the system and in the structure and in the ability to do multiple things, you know, like, and when I say multiple things, he wants you to be able to sit in the pocket and pass. Like, you know, and I'm not sure that that's Lamar Jackson's game. So from that standpoint, I get it. I think Bill's got a very, you know, healthy long-term view of it. But at the same time, this kid's unique. He's different. And the league's different now.
The question is, it's not just Bill, because I think there's a lot of teams that would look at that and say, we don't want to play that way.
Right.
Okay. Do you criticize those teams for saying we don't want to play that way? It's not just the Patriots, but any team would say, nope. That's just...
At the moment, I would say no, but ask me in 3 years.
Yes, I want to see this win. Thank you. Thank you. Because I want to see it actually go all the way through and actually win.
Because if this kid revolutionizes the league, and again, I'm not telling you it's there yet either. I'm just telling you it looks different to me than some of the other guys.
Well, because, and I also mentioned Steve Young as maybe the one guy that did win with this, but he was in the West Coast offense. That was right. A highly structured environment, and he ran. But, you know, that was really, and Montana was mobile too, but it's not like this, okay? No one's won with the pistol, Greg. I know that's a formation, not a scheme, but, you know what I'm saying.
This guy's going to run for 1,000 yards.
No one's won like this. No one has won like this. So can I see it win first?
Of course.
And then I'll say, okay, you were dumb to, you know, take a guard over the next big thing at quarterback. I need to see it first.
Go ahead, Greg.
I was just going to say, and it also, you know, depends on, you know, who's running the offense? Like, you know, if
here
you
we go to Greg Roman again. How many Greg Roman mentions are
we
going to
do? I'm not going to mention
him. Is this like
20? This was going to be about Josh McDaniels. Like, you know, I don't know if Josh, maybe he is capable of and has ideas for this type of player and is waiting for Brady. I do know, I believe that he wants a more athletic quarterback to open up a few more things. Does he want this athletic of a quarterback? I don't know. But, you know, you can't just take a Lamar Jackson and put him with Marty Morningweg. It doesn't work, just like it didn't work for the Ravens last year. It has to
right,
be
you have to
right
turn
fit.
Your team over to him. You have to turn your
yep,
offense over to his style of play. Yep.
Yep, and are you willing to do that?
And that's the real danger in it, because if and when he gets hurt, then what? Whereas Bill looks at it and says, okay, fine. You know, Brady has been instrumental to the Patriots' success, but at the same time, they run a system that doesn't allow Brady to get hit a lot. Or prevents Brady from getting hit a lot. And they built that in, I think, to a degree, to that get rid of the ball quickly, don't take needless hits. You know, we're going to protect the quarterback so that we can build a system that works. And then even so, if he goes down, Matt Cassel jumps in, they make some adjustments on the fly, and they go 11-5. If Lamar Jackson's your quarterback, How do you replicate what he does with anybody else?
Okay, so sorry, I was going to take your calls there. We just wanted to get that out. We'll take your calls next, I promise, on this. And also a quick thought on the Texans from the big boy. All in our long commercial-free segment right after this.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Tom, you're active on social media with your Instagram and Twitter. There's a lot of stuff out there. I found this one kind of humorous, so I'm going to read it to you. Gronk, gone. Hogan, gone. AB, gone. Gordon, gone. Devlin, gone. Harry out half the season. Sanu injured. Dorsett injured. Backup offensive line. No time to throw. No running game. The haters say, what's wrong with Tom Brady? That was kind of humorous to me.
I can play the full answer, but why?
No, everything you need is right there.
Yep.
The loaded question and the way it's delivered. Tom, you're a shining star surrounded by talentless understudies. Huh, Tom? And looking at just a post here on Instagram, let me read from it. Gronk, gone. Edelman, hurt. Wynn, fat. Michelle, sucks and blows. he's a treat.
Okay, we'll wrap up here with Bedard. He's brought to you by Jarvis Ford. As John and Michael Jarvis like to say, honesty, integrity, and family. It's not just how we do business, it's who we are. Jarvis, just off Route 2 in Ayer. Your phones, as promised. Paul in Rhode Island, what's your NFL thought? Quickly.
Hello there. Thank you for taking my call. I know you don't like your new name, but it's okay.
Melger.
Listen, let's get back to basics. My question is, what was Mike Pereira doing here? Was Jerry scared to play the Patriots with all the controversy with the referees and VAR?
Okay, so Pereira follows the top
group. He's always here.
He's always with Aikman and Buck, and so that's not a Patriot thing as much as you want to make it so, or a Jerry Jones thing. He follows that lead group or is in New York doing all the games. Okay, so sorry about that.
I wonder if he thinks Pereira still works for the league.
Well, right, exactly. He doesn't.
He's a broadcaster.
He's a broadcaster. And Pereira actually endorsed. He said the second tripping call was okay. So he actually backed you up on that. What were your thoughts on the tripping calls, Greg?
Oh, they were terrible. I mean, they're total horse garbage.
Not even worth discussing.
The league can I say something?
The league has admitted to Dallas that they screwed them both up, right?
Yeah.
For a second. I mean, are we going to do this every week? Like, you know, calls against the Cowboys, then the Patriots fans are like, oh, you know, there was a pass interference.
The Jason Jackson interference.
Can we just, look, we all know the officiating sucks. It sucks for everybody. Can we get on from it now?
Nope.
All right? Everybody's going to have calls against them both ways during the game. Let's get over with it. Just talk about the game.
Well, what I like is sometimes you get the benefit of the calls. Sometimes you don't. This was one of the games you got the benefit of the calls.
Yeah.
But, oh, my God.
Yeah, but what about the Colin Jackson?
Oh, my God. I just had 14 people drive off the road and three drop a little shart in their pants because they're crying because they just can't accept. Sometimes you get the calls. Sometimes you don't. But yeah. it usually all evens out. But in this particular game, you got the benefit of a couple really shaky calls. One at just an unbelievable time of the game.
Yeah, and you know, and you get some Patriots fans who are like, you know, oh, they're being tackled down the field. You know, let's just ignore, you know, Stephon Gilmore, like, you know, pulling on Amari Cooper's on the first third down on a slant. You know, Gilmore's holding him going across the field. I mean, it goes both ways. Can we just get on with the game, please?
Probably not. Don in Marlboro on Lamar Jackson. Hi, Don.
Hi, guys. My 2 cents worth is when I think of Lamar Jackson, I think of Cordell Stewart, the fastest guy in the field, had some success, Slash, as they used to call him, but nobody seems to bring him up anymore. Wasn't he the same type of player, the same type of body height, the same type of, you know,
no.
athlete?
I mean, in that he was an athletic running quarterback, but
it's a little shorter, I think.
He's got,
oh,
you know.
He's terrible. Lamar, he couldn't throw the ball.
It seems to me Lamar Jackson's got more talent in his pinky finger than Cordell Stewart had in his whole body.
Yep. I mean, the year that Cordell Stewart allegedly, quote-unquote, figured it out, 14 touchdowns, 11 picks.
Thank you.
Okay, like, and this is the one thing that keeps coming back. Jackson is passing at a high efficiency.
Okay, he's just still not passing at a high volume. I think last night he had 20 attempts last night.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's, and I think that's about his average. I think he averages somewhere between 20 and 25 attempts a game.
You got to get him to throw more to beat him.
I need to see that win. And when I say that win, you know, if their defense turns around and starts holding teams in the teens, then you're not really, you know, anyone can play. You can play offense in any way you want if you've got a great defense. I need to see some team win on offense playing the way that he's playing. That, because that has not happened. I need to see that.
That, and I also need to see the Ravens play in a tough game where he has to make plays down the stretch. Right now, it's the same formula every week.
It's a good point.
You know, they're showing the game right now. It's 14-0. They can play on their terms. They win in a blowout. That's awesome. I mean, and he certainly is a reason why they're doing that.
Well,
but at some point in time, they're going to get down early. Can they continue to do what they do on offense? And also, if they're behind in the fourth quarter, can he make the plays from the pocket to win the game?
Okay, did you watch the Seattle game?
I guess not.
Okay, because Murray might vouch for me on this, too. That Seattle game, the final score was 30-16 or whatever
it was. He completely took over the second half of that game.
I mean, and down the stretch, a lot of them were with his legs, but he made big plays in that game down the stretch. Big plays. So I still come back to the health. I just don't know. Sooner or later, he's going to get his head taken off, I think. And that's going to just kill it.
Bill seems really well put together, though. I mean, like, he's strong.
Yeah,
he's
no,
durable.
He does. He seems. Takes a lot of shots, yep. though. Bill in Vermont, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Bill.
I just have a question for you because I don't know the answer to it. Has there ever been any consideration to having the bye weeks, one conference on the 8th week of the season and one on the 9th, and if that would spur more trades?
Why would that spur more trades?
Because that's when the trade deadline is. Instead of having the team off after their 4th week of the season, the 5th week of the season.
Oh, I see.
You know, if you have the whole conference off on week 8 and the whole conference off on week 9.
I think it'd be marginal, Bill. I don't think it would make a difference.
No, and they wouldn't. I mean, I'd have to do the math, but I suspect there wouldn't be enough TV product somewhere in there.
You're
going to have 16 teams off? That's 8 games.
I just think that by the time you get to the trade deadline, well, you've had a buy or not, you know what your team is and what you need and if you're going to make a trade or not. Is that one game going to make a difference? I don't think so. That's sort of from left field. One more here before I get Greg's thoughts on the Texans. Mike in Danvers, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how you doing? I know you something real quick for Maz and something for Bedard.
Go.
Kansas City beat Baltimore and Cleveland beat Baltimore. I'm just curious if you've looked at any tape to see if there was a scheme in there that allowed them to win. And Maz, I don't know what you're talking about with revolutionary with Jackson. This was Colin Kaepernick when he first came out, too, and we see what happened to him. You can't sustain that in the NFL.
Okay, I'm waiting to see someone sustain. Never mind multiple seasons and staying healthy. Take it all the way to a championship.
Sure.
I'd like to see that, too. It is curious. I'm sorry, Greg. Go ahead. Go ahead and answer about what those other teams did.
No, I have not, and I probably won't because both those losses happened in the first 4 weeks of the season, and I just disregard that. They're a completely different team at this point. When teams go back and scout other teams, they do not go back unless they're looking for something specific. They go back 4 or 5 weeks. That's it. That's the film they watch because that's a better indication of what that team is at that point in time.
So since the Ravens have gotten on this roll, no one stopped them. So there's nothing. There's
correct.
No one to point to and say this is what they did against them to have success.
Right, and it's similar to the Patriots in most years, not this year, but most year the Patriots stink in the first 4 weeks. They're completely different in week 14 or the postseason.
I mean, just quickly, those two teams scored. They scored, so I think Baltimore's defense has improved. They traded for Peters in there. Like,
well, make Lamar Jackson play from behind.
Yeah, that's part of it.
And make him throw more than 20 times. And so that's not a game plan. That's more like you have to execute on offense to get ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens scored 28 and 25 in those games. It's not like they got held to 15.
Okay, minute on the Texans. It feels to me like your former BFF, Bill O'Brien, is out. He has been usurped and supplanted by the ubiquitous Greg Roman. I don't think we've had a single segment here today where you haven't mentioned Greg Roman's name like 8 times, like you're rubbing him in your crotch all day.
In fact, I'd call it a Greg Roman orgy. That's what I would call it.
If you want the difference between Lamar Jackson and the Ravens from last year to this year, it's Greg Roman.
Okay, I got it. It means Bill O'Brien's out. Bill O'Brien is done. Adam Gase, those guys are done. They're yesterday's news. You've moved on. So I don't think you give the Texans much of a chance this week, Greg?
No, not really. I mean, I just don't think they're very good. I mean, I think the offensive line still stinks. I'm sure the Patriots will just be all up in Deshaun Watson's grill. The guy does make plays. You have to worry about, DeAndre and, the speedy kid on the outside.
Fuller.
And, you know, the running game's decent, but this defense never holds up to the Patriots. This could be the week where you get that game where you're like, oh, well, here I'll. Well, I guess the Patriots can score and move the ball.
Is Tommy okay?
It could be this week.
He threw to the kid. Atta boy, Tommy, are you okay? Are you all right this week? We have to hold your hand. Go hold your hand again this week because you don't like what you throw. Oh, you actually threw to him and you had success. Isn't that crazy? That's coming.
Houston's going to turn it over.
By the way, I finally found it. The Ravens are scoring opponents 85-24 in the first quarter this year. That was before last night.
So, like, again, that's not a game plan against them, but I would do my best to make the Ravens play from behind so they have to abandon the running game. And then what do you got?
Belichick would probably take the ball first.
So, you know, I would do stuff like
Definitely, yeah. And again, I think the big thing is you got to slow down the tempo because they want to run and, you know, they want to fly around the slow it down, okay. Milk it.
Greg, thanks for coming in as always.
Okay.
Have a happy Thanksgiving for you and yours, Greggy.
All right.
Okay, see you, buddy. Boy. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Go easy on the stuffing.
We'll continue with all your football thoughts. I do want to mix in a Celtics minute off of last night's game and the developments from the weekend. So we'll do that right after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.